All right. Thank you, Ronnie. And it's good to be with you. And it's good to be full of spaghetti and German chocolate cake. Boy, was it good.
It was good, yeah.
And I know I didn't need it, but I ate some anyway. Tonight's study is going to be the rest of the end review of the Song of Solomon. And I think it's really fitting because God made it a reality for the Song of Solomon to be read and even maybe acted out. I don't know how they worked this, but during the Passover time, for the feast of the Passover, that God said was, you know, to always be done, and as long as Israel was in the forefront, I guess they did it. But the little book that we went through in about 8 or 9 studies, this is the 11th study. I marked this one the application for today's truth. The one that we did last week was the one that dealt with the dispensation before our dispensation today. But we're going to go back one more time and deal with one verse of scripture there as we get started tonight. And, but this is, study 11 and the Song of Solomon, and this will be the last study in the Song of Solomon. And this is, March the 28th, 2018. And I call it an end review. And, I made a little, in my notes here, I made a little, page full of stuff that I want to read you, and, you may or may not agree with it, but yet, I felt like that sometimes, you know, you think you're singing to the choir, but they may be somebody that tunes in and reads these studies and gets involved that may not know what you guys that are on tonight know with me. And so I always have to keep that in mind too, that they are some that don't have the understanding that others do. But we're all trying to get to a place, to where we can serve the Lord in that way and teach and preach the mystery if it's fitting for that occasion, and to understand what the apostle has for us, in these days. But we're going to go back to Galatians, and we're going to, start there, but I want to read you what I have written down, and then we'll get right on into it. In our last study of the Song of Solomon, the scripture reviewed dealt with faithfulness and overcoming. You know, we dealt with the two items, the word faith or faithfulness, and we also dealt with the overcomers. And you find most of the overcomers that it reads about in Revelation. And here the necessary element for both words were used as unto death. And so the Lord in his understanding and the Lord in his way of doing things admonishes us to faithfully serve him until death. And I think truly, and I'm saying this out of my own heart now and my own feelings, but I don't think that one, if they ever fully understand mystery truth, cannot retire from it. It just cannot retire. It's something that you cannot hold in your heart if you know it. And if you have the opportunity to get out and to tell him or use it in some way, you will always do that as long as the Lord gives you the opportunity to do that. And so I say that in all sincerity and all honesty. And I realize that we were all born into sin and into a sinful environment. We didn't come into this world in it wonderful and pure and true and simple and all the things that we love to talk about, but we're here in a sinful environment. And in this day and age, the Lord has been faithful to show us through these last seven epistles that Paul wrote concerning mystery truth. He talks about the old man and the new man. And we certainly have the old man because that's what we came here with. But then there is a new way that we can get the new man, but we never fully get rid of the old man because he's always present too, but we're always trying to put him away or put him back or give him the back seat and not the front seat. And it says, and I said, so the test and the expectation for all of us with free will is to come to a place of choice. And I wrote in the third chapter of Genesis in my Bible, I wrote with my pen, the test begins. When Eve met the Shining One in the Garden of Eden, the test for mankind began right there. They didn't know of him beforehand. And Eve looked at him as a god because of his brilliance and because of who he was and what he had been. And see, he had been, I think, the prime minister in God's realm, and he dealt with the angels, and he was the one that went to God with the situations that the angels might have faced in one way or the other. But when you get in the Garden of Eden, then you find that he is a caretaker in the Garden of Eden. But he still has this wisdom that God had given him. And he still has these things to where he can overcome man in ways that man was not seemingly created for. But yet, and God in his wisdom knew that, and the price had already been promised for man, even before Satan ever appeared to Eve in the garden. The Father and the Son, in the throne room of God, wherever it was, the Son had already promised the Father that he would go one day and redeem man. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't grace great? Oh, gee, you really can't explain how great grace is because I don't think we have the words to do that. But our hope sometime is to come to a place of choice, a fork in the road, if you will. And sometimes we get to these forks in the road, and if we don't have direction, we have a struggle to know which way to go. But also, we also realize that without help or intervention, one cannot come to know the Creator God without the call or the urge by the Holy Spirit of God. So that helps us And we sometimes think it is only our choice when the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us. But the job of the Holy Spirit here is to bring the invitation, like as one would get an invitation to a party, like a party that we just went to. You know, whether it's a birthday party or whatnot, you get, somebody lets you know that you need to be there. And the Holy Spirit deals with us in that way, that sometimes that where we're under the hearing of God's word, the Holy Spirit is dealing with us and is letting us know that we need to do this choice thing, that we need to make a choice in our life. And the free choice is ours. It's ours to accept and reject. You know, God deals with agreements, and God wants this to be an agreement. He can, but doesn't make one choose. He sent the Holy Spirit to allow you to come to know that you can't make it to where God is without help. But He don't make you do this. It's something that you have to come to into this agreement with the Holy Spirit in order to have even life through His name. And this choice is for life again after resurrection. Amen. And we call it life through His name. That's what you find in the book of John. The book of John is different. The Gospel of John is different from the other three Gospels. And if you've never stopped to think about it, you certainly need to stop and think about it. And if someone asks you, well, where do you start if you're going to learn to read the Bible and to understand what the Bible has for you, you need to start in the book of John, because if you don't get that, you can't get the rest of it. And that's just simple as it can be. God also makes to these humans, He makes to us promises. And these promises comes with positions. And some of these promises are conditional, meaning that if you will uphold your part of what God says, then He will keep His part by what He promises to you. That's a conditional promise. The other promises are unconditional. A promise made and kept by God, whether you or I keep our end of it or not. That's just how simple it is. This is why different ones have different callings as to their hope or to their inheritance. You know, a lot of people says, well, I always thought all of the Bible was to me. No, it's for you. It may not be directly to you, but it is for your learning and for your understanding, that you and I may be able to discern what is there for us and rightly divide that. Amen. But the common thread within these hopes should be unto the end. There is no retirement. When God gives you this mystery truth, it is there for you as long as your mind is able. You're going to be able to present it to others. That is your calling. That is your job. That is my job. That is what we need to do every day, all the time, and pray for guidance that it be done. Amen. Now, the choosing is made by the judge. We know who the righteous judge is. And we can't pick and choose our hope because God has already chosen that for us. But we are admonished to be certain of our calling. And thank God that we can do that with help of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is our internal GPS. You probably have one in your vehicle. But I have one in my heart. It is God's perfect Son, GPS. And I don't have to run to a minister or a rabbi or anybody else to know if I'm right or wrong. The Holy Spirit will tell me if I'm right or wrong. This is what these young people in the Song of Solomon were dealing with. They were having people to tell them, oh, this is all right, this is okay. And Solomon was doing it for a purpose to get this young girl in bed with him. He was going to make her a queen. And he already had 200. And before he got done with his life on this earth, he had 1,000. And she said no.
There was at least hundreds more that were not as hard to sway.
Sway, no. He you know, and being a king, we don't know that much about these deals with kings and queens and these monarchies and all this, because we've always lived in a democracy as it is. And it's kind of getting worse and worse as we go along, but nevertheless, this is it. But our study today, and I've rattled on for a while, I didn't mean to preach to the choir, but I did. Our study today starts in a book that's in the former dispensation written by Paul before he really got on his journey to Rome, because part of all of this, he had to do this in order to survive a little longer and to do the will of God. And what we're going to look at to begin with is Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 5 and verse 1. And if you have a companion Bible, it's on page 1756. And if you don't have a companion Bible and you want a real good study Bible, I suggest it. We've got them at Truth for Today, so.
Now watch out. Chip will accuse you of being a Bible peddler.
A Bible peddler, okay. So I'm a Bible peddler,
yeah,
Chip.
He said Bible peddler.
Okay, let's look at just one verse here in the former dispensation. In Galatians 5. I'm going to read it, and then we'll go back over it for just a minute. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And this is Paul writing here early on in his seven books that he penned before the end of Acts. And he says, "Stand fast, hold your ground, and do not be swayed." You need to, if you got a position you're going to stand on and you're sure of what it is, you need to hold that ground. You need to stand on it, because we're going to read about other things that goes along with it. This is not going to be, since I'm only taking this one verse in Galatians is not the place where you normally find this, but you see Paul preparing these people for future writings. Okay? So he says, "Stand fast, hold your ground. Don't be swayed, therefore." You know what "therefore" is there for? You ever thought about it? You know, if you're going down the road, and it's an old kind of road to market road. You're going down one of these roads and you come up to a one lane railroad track and there stands a sign with cross arms on it and the sign says stop, look, and listen. Well, if you go bumpity bumping right on across that thing and there's a train coming out of the woods over there somewhere, guess what's going to happen to you? If you didn't stop, look, and listen, you know, you might not, the message you get is going to be kind of bad. And so I always think about that when I see the word therefore. It's there for a reason. And so Paul says to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. So in the liberty is expressed freedom. So what's Paul talking about here in Galatians? This expressed freedom that we have. Now he's telling these people that now we have liberty in God's grace because this Jesus Christ went to the cross. And he provided these things for us that we don't have to do anymore. We don't have to get out and kill an animal and take the blood to somebody to make sacrifices for me and for my family. We don't have to do all these things. So we do have express freedom. So this is what he's saying. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. See, he tells you what he's saying here. The finished work of Christ has made us free from the sin, from the things of the law. What he did was sufficient for what we need. Okay. Christ, it says, hath made us free. Hath there has been added. In that verse, you can admit that. When you read it, it says, wherewith Christ made us free. That makes more sense, you see. He took our sins, he paid our price for them, and we're no more living under this former law. And it says this, and be not entangled with a yoke of bondage. Every time I see the word entangle, I think of a bait caster that's been thrown and bird nested. But the number here is 1758 in the Strong's, and it's enicho. Enicho. It means to hold in, to ensnarl, or to hold a grudge, or have a quarrel against. So basically what he's saying, be not entangled. Let's not quarrel about the word of God. Because it will speak for itself. And if you're talking to someone that has the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will help that individual understand and get the right direction of this. Says, again, with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled again. And again means to go back or do over.
The again implies that the way it is there is that you don't need it. Don't go back.
Yeah, don't go back to anything else. But listen, Paul is saying, listen to me, boys. With the yoke of bondage. Just go back to 4 for just a minute. And look at verses 23 and 24. The one verse is on the next page back, and the other verse is on that same page. And I'm going to read 23 and 24. It says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. You remember with Abraham? in Sarah, it said, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. When God promised you something, it yea and amen. It can be conditional, as I said, or it could be unconditional. And we went over that. It says, which things are an allegory? For they are two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. So you see, he makes it quite plain that if you go back, you're going back to a thing of bondage with Hagar and the young man that was put out into the desert of Arabia. And he says he was going to make 12 princes out of them. When you go in your car and you drive up to the filling station, you're dealing with them, the offspring of those princes, because that's where a lot of your fuel comes from, your fossil fuel that we call gasoline and diesel. Yeah, God gave them things too, and it was underground. He said, I'll give you oil, but a lot of people think it's olive oil, but we found out in the last 100 years or so that the oil is fossil fuel. Turn with me. We're going to go beyond Ephesians, but we're coming back. I want to go to Philippians. And I want to go to Philippians 1:6. We've gotten, and this is on page 1773. If you got a strong companion Bible, I keep saying strong because I go to Strong's a lot. Now we're into our dispensation, so let's start here. What is he saying here in 1:6? He talks about him and Timothy on the envelope, but he says, and he makes prayers for those. Then he gets down to 6, and he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's break that one down a little bit. Being confident, being sure in the trust of God's promises of this very thing, the gospel. That's what this very thing is. Paul is concerned about the gospel that he is getting. And here, he's writing back to these Philippians because they have made him a place to stay when he got to Rome there. And he was 2 years in his own hired house. And guess who it was providing the rent? If you call it rent. It was the Philippians. Okay? Just wanted to make sure that we understood that. It says, the very thing, the gospel, that he which had begun a good work in you. A new work. Also. The good work is also here a new work. Because Paul is getting a different story going here in Ephesians, in Colossians, in Philippians, and these other four letters that he's going to pen at the last part of his ministry. Okay, it's new, a good work or a new work in you, and will perform it, he says, until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's whether you're alive or whether you're dead.
Amen.
If you're dead when Christ appears in the east, when he is pleroma, when his body is full and he appears there, if you're part of his body, you're going to appear there with him, whether you've just been living in the flesh or whether you've been dead in the flesh. Because like the old hymn is, you'll have a new body, praise the Lord, you'll have a new life. Put my wife away last year, and I thought about that as we went to the gravesite. We didn't go till she was put in the ground. But there was nothing in the ground there that the Lord needs now, because he had everything that he needed. She is asleep in Christ today. But when he appears in the east, she's going to be there with him. And that old body she had didn't have no feet. But there ain't going to be nothing missing when she appears with him there. I'd like to read verses 7 through 10. In Philippians 1, it says, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. Paul says that his grace is different from any other living person's grace at this point. He has been chosen by God to deliver a message which we know as mystery truth. And so this grace was given to him as he was struck blind on the Damascus Road. And he told Paul what he was going to have to do for Christ. And Paul didn't really have any choice in the matter. Just like you and I don't have any choice in the matter when we understand mystery truth, that we don't just sit down on it. We've got to put it forth. Verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. He wants us to know what he has been given. Listen to this, verse 10. That you may approve the things that are excellent. And if that's rightly, if you rightly divide that, and you go back to the original, it says you need to try the things that differ. That you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. So there's trying of things that differ. Why? Because Paul had something that was different. And this was his message until his death. And that it was different was what God gave him on the Damascus Road. He was put here to finish and to fulfill the things that God did not let his son tell the people when Christ was here. And a lot of people can't understand that. And they can't believe it. But it wasn't the proper time when he was here teaching and preaching. It wasn't the proper time for this to be shown. But it had been hid from ages and people until it was revealed through the Apostle Paul to mankind for us.
Amen.
Isn't that grace? Isn't that new gospel? Isn't that new truth really wonderful? Turn with me to Philippians 4 for a minute while we're here. Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. I'm not sure that I'm on the right. I may have. Oh, it was Philippians 4:1. I'm sorry. Philippians 4:1. I get it right in a minute. I did this yesterday, and sometimes I don't do it a day in advance because I sometimes get derailed. But here we go. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Here again is the standing fast that we read over in Galatians 5:1 a while ago. So you get back to another therefore. And the scripture from 1:11, we read through 1:10 to here, is the rest of therefore. That's the reason it's there. Okay? If you want to know what therefore means, go back and pick up with Philippians 1:10 and read it through the end of chapter 3. Therefore, my brother, dearly beloved and longed for, as my children. Paul is saying, you as my children. Okay? And you are my joy and my crown. He's not talking about earthly things now. He's talking about heavenly treasures. He says, my dearly beloved and long for, those of you that believe what I have written and understand what I have said, you are the treasures of heaven. And you're basically my joy and my crown. That's what you are. So stand fast. So don't be moved or don't be swayed in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, I want to go to 4:14. So that... No, made a mistake again. I want to go back to Ephesians 4:14. I'm sorry. I'll get us there after a little while. 4:14. And Paul says here, he's been talking about the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry. In 14 it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And boy, if Paul ever knew about those that lie in wait, it was him. It was him. In those first 7 books, they hounded him all the time. Everywhere he went, he was hounded. Page 1766, we're on. It says that we henceforth, we go forward in our hope. We never go back. We're always going forward. We're going for truth. We're going for understanding, and we're going for knowledge. We're going forward. Be no more children And children there is those that are unable to speak. So he's going to give us what to speak and what to say by the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Okay. We may be no longer tossed to and fro, surging about as the sea waves in the sea. You know, you see these waves come rolling in, oh, I can stand up against this. Next thing you know, you're on your rear end going toward the beach, you know, because we made a bad decision. And it says, and also carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching. The word doctrine there generally boils down to the word teaching. And the wind there is the word animos in the Greek. And I'm not good at my Greek, but that's the way it sounds to me. And he talks about don't be thrown about with everything that comes along or listen to everybody and be carried away by the sleight of men or by the slyness and the cunning craftiness with subtlety. Simply because that's the motivation of Satan. If he can use the slyness of his and this subtlety of his, then he tries to get you on another rail or another part of the road that you don't need to be on. So it says, whereby, and this is their motive, they lie in wait to deceive. This is what we would normally call an ambush. If you've got somebody lying in wait, they're going to ambush you. They're going to try to get, I had a friend that was in the military for years and years, and he come to Clemson to be over the ROTC, and he always called it Jewish percentage. And I often wondered about Bob and his Jewish percentage. And he said, oh, that'd give you Jewish percentage. And I often wondered about that, but he understood enough about the Bible to realize that God had promised his children, the Jews, basically, that they weren't chose because they were the most, but they were chose because they were to do the will of God. And if they did the will of God, they had Jewish percentage.
Favor,
yeah. And so it took me a long time to learn that. That's like, you know, I was talking to one of my kinfolk the other day, and he said, you know, Cecil said, we had Indian graves in our cotton field back yonder, and said, we plowed around them, and Dad wouldn't let us mess with them, and said, he told us kids, he said, every time you go by there, said, you ask them Indians what they've been doing today. And he said, they'll say nothing. And I stood there and looked at him for a minute or two, and then I kind of broke out in a big grin, and I said, how long did it take y'all boys to figure that out? And he said, well, we finally figured it out. You know, it's how it's presented. You know, and I mean, he wasn't, he was really telling the truth, but still, he made his point. Okay? They lie in wait or ambush to deceive, to turn one from the truth. So turn with me also to Ephesians 6 for just a minute. Verse 13. And you're saying, Cecil, why in the world are you skipping around all this stuff? Well, I'm trying to lay it out in a form that you can see that it makes sense. Ephesians 6:13. You know when we said a while ago to stand? Two places where it said to stand. This is how you do it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, yes, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we're going to read that one. It says, wherefore, or on account of this, take unto you, or take up, the whole armor of God. Don't go into battle unprotected. God doesn't mean for you and me to go and meet the devil on his terms without armor, without something to protect us. Okay? That you may be able to withstand, to overcome in the evil day, which is our day, and have done all. If we're dressed out to stand, then we will be able to stand and stand firm and not be swayed. But let's go on and read the rest of that. We're going to read,14 through 17. I can't read my writing, see. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Now here's the rest of the armor. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now let me read you something. These are seven things here. Three are for endearment. The girdle, the breastplate, and the shoes are for endearment. Okay? Two are weapons of defense. The shield and the helmet. And there's two for offense, is the sword and the spear. So when you're decked out in full armament of God, then He has given you everything that it takes to stand and to withstand. And so He has given us all the armament that we need for living in this day and age. Right here in Ephesians, He gave it to Paul. Turn with me to Colossians. Go back by Philippians again. We're still turning pages. Go with me to Colossians 1. And I'm running out of time. Colossians 1:10. And this was part of our walk study that we took better than 3 years to complete. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That you might walk. That word walk there is yolak. And it means to walk the way God would have you to go. Now, there is another word that goes with this that is walk too. And it is holak. One is yolak. That's God's way. And one is holak. And that's the way that you want to walk. That's the way that we walk before the Holy Spirit got involved with our life. Okay? Pretty simple, isn't it? That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy there is you should be open and ready for Him to use you in any way that He sees fit. Unto all pleasing, obeying Him, and being fruitful. He's expecting you to gather to for Him and to Him a harvest. And that harvest is this word that Paul has given the rest of his life to produce. In every good work, you've been given a chore. And increasing, that means that you're growing in the knowledge of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us fit. You see the word meet there. Made us meet to be fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I am not looking for a coming. I am looking for an appearing. I am expecting to be among that number of the saints that are in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be my study theme for this year's conference. The light of Christ. And I'll tell you a little secret about that right now. There was no lie in Him, so He did not cast a shadow. Whether He be in the form of man or being in the form of God, the Son did not cast a shadow. He had no sin. He had to take sin, and sin is darkness. And that's the reason I said a while ago, you need to go back to John and start reading in John. The first words in John is, He was the light. And before the sun was ever put in the heavens for 3 days in the new earth out of the water, He was the light. And He's still the light. And I want to be a saint in light, don't you? Gee, think about that. I want to go to one other place. And I'm running out of time. But turn with me to 2 Timothy. I think I can't quit here. Second Timothy 3:14. It's on page 1813. Look at 14. But continue and the things which thou hast learned. He's talking to Timothy here. And this is the last, this is his final letter. He says to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul says, remember where you got it, Timothy. You got it from me, and I got it from the Lord himself on the Damascus Road. But it took him a long time to be able to present it, because it wasn't time. It still wasn't time. 15. And from a child, he says, Timothy, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. And don't forget 16. All Scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God. It is divine words. It's not just some words that somebody thought up and spoke one day. It is divine words and is profitable for doctrine or for teaching what is true, and for reproof, for correction of that which is false. That's what gives you and me our faith. We can now understand without any interruption what's truth and what's false. We don't have to go and ask the preacher or nobody else, is this right or is this wrong?
And God breathed all the Scripture, not just the letters in red.
All the Scripture. He breathed it all. And for correction. For correction there, for that's, this gets back to works again, for what is wrong. And for instructions in righteousness. And again, for what is right. This is our works. And it should be no question about our faith, and that our works should go with our faith. If we know and understand and rightly divide, we know what's right. We know what's wrong. I want to go to one other place. I know I'm running over, but I want to read Titus 1:9. And it's not much different from what we just read. Holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Boy, there's gainsayers out there. They'll tell you anything and everything that they think you want to hear. But we know how to divide the truth. And as Paul is talking to Titus here about his slave, he said, he now knows this too. And he knows what's right. He knows what's wrong. And so this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to leave this. And if you look at what we said tonight, and you look at what we said last week about the overcomer and the faithfulness of those folks in that day and in that age and in that dispensation, and you look at what their hope is, and then you look at this hope that Paul has laid out for us, and I just skimmed over a little of it. You know, when my grandma used to cook jelly, she would skim the bubbles off the stuff that would boil up to the top and skim it off, because its usefulness had done come and gone. Well, this is what we're doing here. We have skimmed over this, and hopefully we're going to leave that needs skimmed off. We're going to leave it off, and we're going to eat the real meat here. And I think this is the way we ought to look at it. So God bless you, and I hope you got something out of these studies and out of this. But when you think back, and you think back to the young lady and all the problems that she went through, it's still that way. We're still going through these problems. And there are people out there that will want to get you to do anything and everything besides what God says is truth, love, and holiness. And they lay an ambush. It's not like they're holding up a flag and says, stop here and get this or get that. It's done so subtly that sometimes we don't really realize it. The opioid problem. That's one thing. You just think about it. You can go to the hospital with some problem and stay 5 or 6 or 7 days. You can come out of the hospital and you can be hooked on something that'll stay with you a lifetime if you don't get the right stuff to get it out of your system. Well, that's the way Satan works. You can go somewhere and stay somewhere for a day or two, and you can come home with something that you cannot get rid of for the rest of your life. You know, Isaiah was given to be a prophet for Israel, for those that were in Babylon. And his wife didn't get to go, and she stayed in Jerusalem. And she was part of the fornication and part of the things that was going on there with all this idolatry and stuff. And God told him that your wife is going to die. And he tells Isaiah, he says, I do not want you to shed one tear for this woman. And he didn't. But they knew he had lost his wife because the way he dressed when he went back to them, he was dressed in mourning clothes. And the people that were Jews, they understood it. But Nebuchadnezzar's people didn't know it because they didn't know the customs or they didn't know the things. Because she was not chosen to go because of her lifestyle. And she died in Jerusalem when they burnt Jerusalem down. And I often wonder, did she have AIDS? Oh, Cecil, what are you talking about? AIDS just showed up here in 1970. Is that really true? The Word says in Ecclesiastes there's no new thing under the sun. What is, has been, and what was, will be. So you can't say that. So you got to be careful. Because there's things out there that's just laying in wait for us. But nevertheless, God gives us this mind and gives us this understanding. And it is a calling that's far greater than anything else that had ever been promised by God to any man, anywhere, at any time. Why did old Cecil get it? I have no idea. But I thank God every day that he gave it to me. And as long as I'm around and able, you're going to hear it every once in a while. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. But thank you most of all that you with me can say to the appearing of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless you.